Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you to our worship service on such a beautiful day, and we're glad to. And they said, "Let us join into the house of the Lord, for we will be strengthened and be able to, through Christ, worship His name." Just a couple of announcements. I'm really excited about this Wednesday night. One of my favorite parts of the life of the church is the men's group that meets on Wednesday nights, and it's open to anyone. It's not a closed group, but it's just a great time of fellowship. How many of you remember the old TV show Cheers? You remember Cheers? It's like Cheers, but when we get together not only to encourage each other and be there, but to talk about the Word, to strengthen each other in Christ, to share prayer requests, and I guarantee you we laugh as much as they did on that program. And so I'm excited. I'm excited because this Wednesday we're going to begin at a new location, and it's just going to work out real well. The men, we're going to meet at Carolyn's house, which is 169 Buxton. And the men will meet back in the smokehouse. Most of us have been there that Calvin designed and he and Carolyn built. And the men will meet there. The women will begin their study of Philippians meeting in the house. And it'll be 7 o'clock. It's going to be a great time. The one thing I would ask the men is if you've been to Carolyn's house, you know she's on the corner. I would ask the men, if possible, to park on the street. It's not Buxton. It would be the Hickok. Hickok just sort of goes beside their house, and then you can walk through the backyard and get right to the smokehouse, and that'll give those that need to be closer an ability to pull in the driveway. So I would invite women and men, if you haven't started, just come and give it a try. I think you'll enjoy it. It's a great time to start it. That's this Wednesday. Also, today we are had to replace the other chalice we've been using. And because we believe that those things which are part of our worship have biblical precedent and liturgical importance, we will be consecrating our new chalice today. And it really doesn't affect you, but just so you'll know what's going on after the doxology, before the reading of the gospel, just continue to stand. We'll have a very brief consecration of that, and then we'll go into the reading of the gospel. Are there other announcements? Then let's move to prayer requests. We want to lift up all those that are listed. In particular, there are two things on Friday I want us to remember. In joy, Patricia will be celebrating her birthday on Friday. And we're so grateful, especially over the past year. And several months of this year, it's always good to celebrate life. Also, as you're celebrating Trisha's life on Friday, please lift up Dave Kinzer, as he will be having surgery. And we just know that God is a God of life. It's going to go well, and we'll be keeping you in prayer, brother, and commit to us on that. And then before I open it up, two that were listed here, Jeannie is still in bed and have been there all week. And then also, I assume that's Jeannie Primple?
Yes.
Okay. Mona's daughter. And also, the kids are starting school, and be with all the kids and teachers, the school bus drivers, and we'll keep that in prayer. Any other prayer requests that any of you? Yes, sir, David.
I have a prayer request for a co-worker of mine, a very good friend. This past Friday, while he was gone to lunch, he received a phone call that his brother unexpectedly passed away Thursday night. I don't know his name, but Bill Roberts is my co-worker. Just prayers for him and his family for an unexpected loss.
So your friend Bill's brother and
Bill
his
Roberts
family.
Brother.
Okay. We will definitely keep them in prayer. Thank you, brother. Yes, ma'am.
If we could keep Michaela McDaniel, it's Troy's niece. She's pregnant with twins, and she went to the doctor Friday, and they're going to, baby A is 3 pounds, but baby B is not growing as well, and there's maybe some complications. She's praying that this baby is going to have to be taken home.
Where do they live?
West Virginia.
So let's keep Michaela McDaniel in our prayer. Thank you. Agnes?
Stacy Galloway. Rescues.
What was the first name?
Stacy.
Stacy. Stacy Galloway. I assume that's related to Bob?
No, it's one of mine.
One of yours?
My cousin Phyllis Ray married a Galloway.
Okay. Good deal. We'll keep her in prayer. Yes, ma'am.
Betty Draco, she's in the hospital with COVID. And of course, Jean Washington Sheriff.
Jean fell, but she's out of the hospital. Betty's in the hospital and she has COVID and she's 88.
Yeah.
So let's keep her in prayer. I saw a hand somewhere. Anyone else? Yes, Gail.
Matt, for a request, but I missed the announcement. We've got cucumbers and tomatoes on the table as you exit.
Well, that's truly a joy and a concern. There's cucumbers back on the table. Avoid those tomatoes, they'll kill you. Any other prayer requests? Thank you for bringing that. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Well, before we do, Andy, how's your mom? Any update on her?
So she's out of the hospital getting better day by day. She appreciates all the prayers.
Good.
I'm going down to see her next week, so thank you for the prayers for her.
Let's go. Lord, we thank you that we can skip in life. We can enjoy this world in a carefree way, for you have done all that needs to be done for life, for holiness. You have sent your Son to redeem us. You have given your Son, not only to provide for our eternal salvation, but for the wellness of life. We have true shalom in Jesus Christ, and we thank you for that. We thank you that and see that that laughter and joy is truly the most appropriate demeanor for a Christian to take, for you came to give us life and that more abundantly, and we thank you for that. We thank you for this local body where we can gather in love for each other and with as one to express our gratitude and praise for your love shown to us. As we gather, we catch up from this past week, and we share one another's burdens, and we just bring these to you. We do thank you for just your goodness and working in so many situations bringing good. We thank you for Tricia and continue to bless her, and just thank you for how your watch, care, and hand have been on her, and we celebrate with her and her family this coming birthday. We pray that you would be with the other side of the spectrum. We remember Bill Robertson and his family, his brother's loss. But we have the faith of knowing that you are not only the God in the good times, you are the God who walks with us through the valley of the shadow of death. Your sovereignty is not disrupted by this we call physical death, for we find our only hope in you in life and in death. So just be with Bill and his family. I pray that you'd be with Michaela and with Stacy, with Betty, with Jean, and with Jeannie. In each situation, may you draw close and give encouragement, give healing. We thank you for how it's coming along with Lydia, and we pray that she will continue to be strengthened. Give safety to Andy as he travels and to all of us. We thank even as we speak of Carolyn, who's on the road coming home. Give safety to her and to all those that travel. Be with the children and teachers and bus drivers and others who will be gearing up for the coming of the school year. May we just trust your care. We commit all these things to you. And we thank you for the love you've shown us in Christ. Now as we prepare to enter into worship, may your spirit make our hearts and our minds acceptable in your sight and our words directed towards you. We pray all these things in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. If you look with me on the front of the bulletin, we gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your paths. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new life spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with the Holy Spirit.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Amen.
You'll look with me to the interior. The insert will read the first 8 verses of Psalm 34. Responsibly. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall ever be in my mouth.
I will glory in the Lord. Let the humble hear and rejoice.
Proclaim with me the greatness of the Lord. Let us exalt his name together.
I saw the Lord where he answers with me, and delivered me out of all my terror.
Look upon him and be radiant, and let not your faces be ashamed.
I call on my attention to the Lord, your word, and save me from all my troubles.
The angel of the Lord encompasses those who fear him, and he will deliver them.
Taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are they who trust in him.
Thank you. first reading comes from 1 Kings 19, 1-8. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid and he rose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my father's." And he lay down and slept under the broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." And he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God.
Stop the world and let us go and sit under our broom tree. but we're also grateful that your word finds us, that you, as you dispatch the angel to speak to Elijah, you dispatch messengers, angels to come and to remind us that we are to taste and see that the Lord is good. We come, having searched in many places for bread that doesn't satisfy and drink that leaves us yet thirsty. And we come to you, the only source, the living water, the eternal word. And coming to you, we are satiated. We are overflowing. And we receive you as and where you told us to find you, through the precious Spirit, the same Spirit that resurrected Christ Jesus, so too brought our hearts from being dead in sin to being alive, walking in newness of life as your children. And as your children, we are bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Second reading comes from Ephesians 4, 17, 5, 2. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Christ, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to be put on the new, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
In your sweet redeeming name, we give you all thanks, power, and glory. It's amazing how God's timing works. Early in this year, as I usually plan my sermons out, not the entirety, but where I'm going, I decided that it might be good, based on questions, to look at the Apostles' Creed during the summer. So I scheduled that out and planned it months ago. Who would have known, in God's good timing, that the chalice we've used for several years would have cracked and we needed to get a replacement? And who would have known that the place I ordered it from had to send two prior to this one to get the right one? All these delays. Who would have known all of that to allow us to consecrate this new chalice on the Sunday that we're looking at, I believe, in the Holy Catholic Church, the place of word and sacrament? It's a real joy, because we not only get to hear that the Lord is good, but every Sunday we gather together and we truly taste and see that the Lord is good. He has filled the poor and needy with good things, and He comes and He fills us. So we'd like to set this apart. Blessed be the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Mm. Let us pray. O God, by whose word all things are sanctified, pour forth your blessings upon this chalice in your holy name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and grant that all of us who use it will do so according to your word and your will. And through the Spirit, may we receive from you health of body, peace of soul, forgiveness of sins, and grace all sufficient. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Gospel ring.
Yeah, I made a mistake.
Gospel reading is John chapter 6, verses 35 through 51. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me. Whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So the Jews grumbled about him, because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give to the life of the world is my flesh. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Now you may be seated. pray together. Our gracious God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your goodness, that you descended, and in you we will, on that glorious day, ascend to be with you in the heavenly host, in the church victorious forevermore. And we're grateful that in this earthly sojourn, you come as you always do, as you did time and time again to those characters in the scripture, and provide that necessary food throughout the journey. Like the children of Israel, you follow us and you provide that living water. Like Elijah, you come to us and provide us that eternal bread. It strengthens us. It enlivens us. It gives us joy. And we are able to say with the psalmist, I have been young and now I am old, and I have never seen his children forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Thank you that your mercies and compassion are overflowing. Thank you that you are more eager to shower us with grace than we are desirous to receive. Now work in our hearts and minds that the Holy Spirit will create that hunger. Thanking you for the promise that those who hunger for thirst and righteousness will see God. We want to see Jesus, him alone, in his name. Amen. This past year, I have found myself thinking more about plumbing than any year in my life. And I've learned a lot of things about plumbing, besides that they are very well paid and probably deserving of such. But I found that you can have a very deep and overflowing well of delicious and cool water that's overflowing. But if you don't have the proper means, you're not able to ask it. You're not able to receive it. And today's passage, today's scriptures, our thought of the day about believing in the church, you say, well, what does that have to do with plumbing? Well, let's back up. We confess and we see, and what we've sung, what we've read, what we know that the cross is a fountain of all goodness. Psalm 103 tells us that forgiveness of sins and healings of our infirmity, all good things flow from the sacrificial gift of Jesus Christ. He is the fountain. We know that Christ and his sacrifice is that living water. But all too often we are like the woman at the well when Jesus is speaking of water, and she says in John 4, around verse 11, how are we going to get this water? We don't have a bucket. We don't have a way to draw it. How are we going to get it? So basically, I think the statement, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, is the answer to the question, how does it, that living water, get to us? How do we get it? And we need plumbing. Or as the church has always called it, and you may have heard the sacraments called this, the means of grace, the conduit of grace. We see that Christ is the source, and we understand that. But we also need to find, where do we find it? If you go back to Christmas, or go forward to Christmas, if you go to your nativity set, you go to your story, the shepherds were told to go and find the Christ child. The wise men were told to go and they were given a star and find Jesus Christ. What if they would have said, thanks, but I think I'd rather go to Tel Aviv. Bethlehem was sort of nice, but I think maybe I'd rather go to Venice. I think maybe I'd rather just do it here. And you say, well, that's silly. Of course, the only place that Christ was going to be was in Bethlehem in a manger and swaddling clothes. What if in the Old Testament they would have said, well, that's great that you tell us that God is found and symbolized in his presence is with the Ark of the Covenant, but I don't know if I like that. Maybe like Frank Sinatra, I want to come to God my way. And so maybe I won't, that's fine what you say about the Ark, but I choose a different route. To authenticate my own desires, I'm going to go a different path. We see a picture of one that did that. His name was Saul. And instead of waiting for the way God told him to worship him, he thought, well, it's not too hard. I can go in there and do that. And he went in as the king and offered as only a high priest should have done, that Samuel should have done. And because of that, he lost the kingdom. You say all of that to say that as the reformers taught, as the church has taught from day one, and as it was universally believed until the last couple centuries, but it has run rampant and we are amok because of this, is the truth, as Martin Luther, John Calvin, John Wesley, Augustine, Cyprian, they all put it, you cannot have God as your father unless you have the church as your mother. We hear appeals that you can't be a Lone Range Christian. And if you listen to that coming sometimes, basically it's a very weak appeal that you ought to socialize with one another. You need the fellowship. But it's far deeper than that. See, if the means of grace, the plumbing, if you'll allow me to say that, the conduit that gets the grace of God and the love of God and Christ himself to us is his word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. It is his word. It are his sacraments. This do in remembrance of me. We're right back at the church. Because it's only in the church that we have word and sacrament. Now, he said, well, that's an arrogant claim. I'd even go so far then and say that the church owns the sacraments. And I think it's not an arrogant statement because if I remember, it was Jesus who gave it to the church. It was Jesus Christ who said, this do in remembrance of me. As you gather together, preach the word and take the sacraments. This is where I'll be found. Look with me in John 3. We often read this, but we get sidetracked, as we often do, not seeing the context. But if you look at John 3, a very familiar passage, and I would encourage you here, I haven't seen, Andy has encouraged me for months, and I just gotten busy, and I haven't seen the whole thing, but I did watch this episode of the program called The Chosen. But if you haven't seen that, please at least look at the one on Nicodemus. And we read this in verse 1, chapter 3. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with them. Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus is given an impossible task, and he rightly understands that. How can you be born again? I can do a lot of things, but I cannot be born again. He even says in verse 4, Nicodemus said to them, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And the obvious answer is, of course not. And Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it withers, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes and from where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. The Father chose to communicate, to share, to give, like that living water through the conduit or the means. The Father chose to give Christ through word and sacrament, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I often will have people say, yeah, but what about the thief on the cross? He wasn't a part of a church. And the thief on the cross is one of those characters that are used to just about justify anything or give a caveat to anything. And there is a rule that we just need to understand in good thinking, is that you can't make a rule based on an exception. But the way the church would say this is that God has bound salvation in the word and sacraments, but he has not bound himself to that. In other words, he can choose to bypass that, and we often see that. In the Old Testament, he said, I'll be present in the ark. But if he wants to speak to a donkey, he can do that too. God can choose to bypass his appointed means, but we can't. We don't have that prerogative. He can choose how he works, but we are to follow and to say, yes, my Lord, I will find you where you tell me to find you. Martin Luther said that if we find God any other place, but where he told us to find him, in word and in sacrament, we've not found a God, we've found a devil. So we don't create this thing on our own. And when we stand up and say, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, it's not only a bold statement, but it's an act and confession of submission. That I'm not creating up my own religion. I'm not trying to be my own authority. I'm not trying to do what they did in the book of Judges, where everyone did that which was right in their own eyes. But rather, I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church, as the Nicene Creed would say. See, Christ instituted this, and he gave it to us. The problem with this is that we've reduced Christianity, as we see Nicodemus doing it, to either concepts we believe or behavior we follow. Look back at John 3. It says that Nicodemus came to him, and look what he says. And Nicodemus is an educated man, a devout man, a good man. In verse 2, the man came to Jesus by night and said to him, we know, we believe, we have intellectual assent, that you are a teacher coming for God. For no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him. And so what we've done is we have so reduced Christianity to either concepts we believe or behavior that we have to do, that the truth and necessity of gathering together as one has become optional. I've had people say, well, I don't need the church. I listen to good preaching on the radio or on television or on the internet. I don't need the church. I can hear better music at home. I don't need the church. I can definitely hear better sermons at home. And what we've done by saying that is we've confessed that we think the church is ancillary. Let me ask you a question. When Jesus was on earth, when Jesus was walking in Nazareth, first century Palestine, I want you to grasp that the body of Jesus was the sensible evidence of God's presence. And when I say sensible in the sense of reasonable, but sensible also in the fact of our senses, right? Remember what John says in 1 John 1? The one we saw, the one we touched, the one we heard, the one we tasted. In first century Palestine, at the first opening of the last days, when Jesus walked the earth, the body of Jesus was God's sensible evidence of his presence in the world. In the same way, as Jesus said, it'll be good that I go, for the Holy Spirit will come, and you will be the temple. In the same way, the body of Christ is the only sensible evidence of God's presence today. The church is not some nice habit, discipline that a Christian should have in his life. It is part and parcel. What would you think if I said, well, you know, I really love my dad, my mom, my brothers, and my sister, but I can't stand my family? You see where there's this disconnect. And the whole concept of family is we come together. And when we come together as a church, we hear and taste and see that he is good. And in doing that, we have the truth. Paul tells Timothy that the church, nowhere else, the church is the pillar and support of the truth. So we are also told that we are to guard the church, to guard the truth. And I want to just close by telling us three ways in which we can do this when it comes to the church, when it comes to the sacraments, when it comes to the Word, when it comes to Jesus Christ. And it's how we guard that. How we hold that dearly. We treasure the church. Because the truth of the matter is, I really love the church. I love you guys. And I love our congregation. But I love the church. We need to back up. I'm running a little rabbit here. Do you know God created a church before the scriptures were printed? Do you understand? I love to tell people this. The New Testament, do you know what the New Testament is? Sure you do. The Gideons hand them out all the time. You understand that. But I want you to understand deeply, because there's an essential truth here. The New Testament was a cup before it was a book. Right? And so when we come together, this isn't just something head knowledge where we learn a lot of concepts and we believe a lot of stuff and we do a lot of things. This is far more real. We really receive Jesus Christ in word and sacrament. We really are one, brothers and sisters together. That's reality. It's our reality. It's our reality. So let me give you these three. The first thing we need to do with the church, with the truth, with Jesus Christ, is we need to ponder. We need to ponder what we believe. Do you really ponder what you believe? Do you think about it? Have you ever seen a child? And ponder doesn't mean study. It does mean study, but it's not just an intellectual enterprise. Have you ever held a newborn in your hand? Your child, a grandchild, a niece, a nephew? Have you ever held a newborn in your child and you just sort of looked at their hand, their toes, their face? Have you ever looked at a sunset? Have you ever just pondered the face of a loved one? See, ponder is to adore. We focus, and when we come to that which we believe, it isn't just something that we recite. We have to ponder it. We have to meditate on these things. I'll lift up two people that did that quite well. They're both named Mary. The first one was the Virgin Mary, the first person who asked Jesus into her heart and into her body and into her being. When she said unto the Lord, be it unto me according to your word. She pondered all these things in her heart. It wasn't just something that she said, oh, I got that, let's move on. She held it, she pondered it. The other was Mary, the sister of Lazarus. She had a sister named Martha. You remember the story of Mary and Martha? Jesus at the house of Mary and Martha? They both invited Jesus into their house. But only one invited Jesus into their being. They both invited Jesus into proximity. They both were hospitable to Jesus. They both invited him to the house, but only one invited him into their being, into their heart. See, Mary, we're told by Jesus, chose the only necessary thing. Martha, on the other hand, it really wasn't about Jesus for her, was it? As Jesus said, she was distracted. We know that feeling, don't we? You ever been in someone's home, invited by them to be in their home, and somewhere along the line you get the impression they're really not interested in you. They just want to put out a good spread. They just want the decorations to be right. They're doing this because for something other than you. Brothers and sisters, we are called upon, and I call you, and I want you to call me, that when it comes to the things of the faith, the truth of the Scripture and Jesus Christ, that we just don't do it because it's a thing to do, but we truly ponder it. Do you ponder what you take in communion? I guarantee you, if I gave each one of you a $5,000 check upon leaving today, first of all, you probably wouldn't think. Let's say I gave you $5,000 cash, because you wouldn't believe the checks would be good. So if I gave you $5,000 cash, I'm just curious, show of hands. How many of you think you could go this entire week and not mention to someone what valuable gift you got in church? I know you would tell. You'd be talking about it all week. Can you believe the pastor gave me $5,000? Brothers and sisters, I'm not trying to be funny. I'm being as realistic as I can for someone who does more funerals than any of you have attended. You receive something far more valuable than $5,000. Through word and sacrament, you receive Jesus Christ. Let's ponder that. The second thing is we need to practice it. We need to practice it. It's not just something that we believe, something we ponder. We have to be a part of it. We have to be a part of it. In Hebrews 10, for time I won't turn there. In Hebrews 10, we're given some really strange, it seems really harsh. You can look it up this afternoon. The end of Hebrews 10, it says that some of you have been disobedient and you've even died over it. And you're thinking, wait a minute, I thought Jesus died for my disobedience. I thought he forgave my sins. But if you read the context, it comes several verses after the writer says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Because when you do, you neglect the very blood and body of Jesus Christ. How can we not practice that which is given to us at the cost of His dear Son? And then the final thing, we need to proclaim what we believe. Ponder it, practice it, and proclaim it. Peter says we're always to be able to give an answer to those that ask us about the hope within us. Now, that doesn't mean you need to be a theological genius. It doesn't say that. It says give an answer for the hope that lies within you. So proclaim your faith when somebody might say, why are you so happy? Don't just say, well, I'm having a good day. Proclaim your faith. When someone says, how did you make it through that? Don't just say, well, I was lucky. Proclaim your faith. Can you tell me about the peace you have? You don't seem to get as riled up as you used to. Don't just say, well, I've gotten older and mature. Proclaim your faith. Somebody says, what gives you hope? What keeps you going when you thought your world, it looks like your world ended? Don't just say, well, I'm getting by. Proclaim your faith. Turn with me. Just jump one chapter over to John. We'll close. We started this church 10 years ago around this chapter and this incident, this woman at the well. But I want to pick up after the story, long after the story. Begin reading with me in John 4, verse 39. To give you the background, after Jesus had his dialogue with her at the well, this woman that had been married 5 times, was living with a man now that wasn't, she was a Samaritan, which put her behind the eight ball. She was full of shame, and no one gave her any authority or respect. And Jesus said, go. And look what she did. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman at the well, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves. And we know indeed that this is the Savior of the world. This woman had no theological training. She wasn't well schooled in scriptures. I guarantee you, each one of us knows the Bible better than she did. She had no training. She didn't have a sterling life. She avoided people like a plague because she lived under such shame. She wasn't recognized as an authority or even a credible witness. But she had an honest relationship with Jesus Christ. Through his word and through the gift of everlasting water, through word and sacrament, he changed her life. And she changed her town as the Holy Spirit worked through her. My hope for all of us is that we can truly ponder, practice, and proclaim that we believe in the Holy Catholic Church. Let us stand and confess together our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated.
Join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
God of time and eternity, we give you thanks and praise that you weave the fabric of your purpose, the warp of our faith, and the weft of our faithlessness. You meet us as you met Isaac and Jacob in the tents of our transits. And prepare us as you prepared Abraham for your city of your joy. We make ourselves strangers and foreigners to you, but you greet us in your Son. In his death and resurrection, you bring us home. to be the people of your possession. And so we gladly thank you, the saints and angels, and all the company of heaven, singing the hymn of your unending praise.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Loving God, you call us your treasure, and you tell us where your treasure is. There your heart is also. In Jesus, you lodge your heart among us. And the sharing of this holy meal, you place that heart, you place the heart of Jesus Christ in our midst. Now send down your Holy Spirit, that we may become holy as you are holy, and that these gifts of bread and wine may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and having given you thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again."
Revealing God, as we perceive your Son in the power of your Spirit to be present in this bread and in this wine, open our eyes to see your presence in the places and people wherein you make known your glory, so that when you come again on the last day, we shall recognize you by the company you keep, and you shall recognize us by the company we keep. Just as you have shown us that your heart is always with us, wherever our hearts stray, so now draw our hearts always to be where your heart is, as you have made us your treasure on earth. Transform us and your whole creation into your treasure in heaven, until the day when all hearts are drawn to you in the harmony of your praise. Ever one God, our Savior, and our friend. Amen.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As the manna given was not from Moses, but from God, as the food that Elijah received, as all grace is, it is from the only source of all good gifts. So from our Heavenly Father, we are offered these gifts for our healing, for our redemption. So as a minister of the gospel, I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, sincerity, truth, to come and to receive the very body and blood of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
We thank you, our Father, for feeding us, inviting us to the table, a table prepared for you. We thank you for your body, for incorporating us in that body. Thank you that this is the new reality. And in you, behold, all things are new. And we taste and see that the Lord is good. May we adore you in all that we do. We ask that in your name. Amen. For our closing hymn, please remain seated. And our closing hymn is not one that we will sing along. It's one I hope that you will truly use as a prayer as we are led to truly focus our thoughts, not just on the hour we spent together, but the entirety of our lives and for all eternity. So join with me as John leads us in this rhythmic prayer together.
Give me Jesus.
the end of a good meal, my grandfather and grandmother used to go through this little comical thing that started, "I've had sufficient." Brothers and sisters, when you taste and see that the Lord is good in Jesus Christ, you have sufficient. All you need. In that joy and hope, let us go forth, knowing that in Christ the Lord has blessed you and will keep you. The Lord has lifted his face upon you and shined upon you, and he is gracious to you. The Lord lifts his countenance upon you and gives you peace, both now and forevermore. Amen. The service is over. Go in peace to serve and love the Lord. Amen.